Hello, welcome to yet another commentary episode. In this one, I'm going to be commentating on my article, The Self-Improvement Paradox When Progress Feels Painful. Oh yeah, this one was kind of personal. A lot of people really, really enjoyed it. They felt that it was very reminiscent, very similar to another very popular article of mine called The Backwards Law. And a lot of people have been asking questions about this article. For example, did this very much hit close to home? And okay, any other ideas on what the solution is to avoid this paradox? Now, just for those who are perhaps uninitiated, right? What is even this self-improvement paradox? It's a paradox that basically goes like this. Sometimes self-improvement actually becomes its own form of self-destruction. Sometimes people rely and indulge in self-improvement so much that it actually ends up hurting them, hurting specifically the area in which they're trying to improve, or the area they are trying to directly somehow enhance or improve. So for example, a lot of people, they get into this paradox when they try to air out all their emotional baggage, when they try to rid themselves of all insecurities and trauma, or when they try to be like the smartest, healthiest, fittest, richest, most charismatic, magnetic version of themselves. Like, all of these are really noble pursuits, but when you obsessively try and chase after them, right, try to hit all of these sorts of goals, well, you get disappointed, because the truth is, we never will be able to get rid of all our emotional baggage or insecurities or trauma, or become even the smartest, healthiest, fittest, whatever version of ourselves. We can always be better, right? But sometimes being better just leads to a lot of diminishing returns in mental health and is therefore just not worth it. It's not a worthwhile goal to pursue, because sometimes we obsess about becoming better, to put it just very generically. We obsess about it so much that we start to feel inadequate as we are right now. And then that leads to a lot of misery. That leads to a lot of disappointment, a lot of self-critique, and obviously our mental health suffers. So that's essentially what the self-improvement paradox is. So my idea, my solution, in fact, my solution to this paradox is that sometimes when you feel like you've reached a point in your self-improvement journey where you've kind of already figured out or resolved your main issues, your main either emotional or relational issues or whatever, once you reach that point, you should really shift your focus not on furthering your self-improvement efforts, but you should actually focus on self-acceptance, on accepting yourself for being flawed, for being imperfect, for having simply like really bad traits or annoying tendencies and stuff like that. Now, a lot of people, they have been asking me, where's the line? Where's the line where I need to, that indicates that I need to go from self-improvement to self-acceptance? And I'm like, shit, man, it's different for everyone. It really is. Like, for example, here's my line, and here's my how I solved my own self-improvement paradox. Now, it wasn't directly tied to my breakup, thankfully, because I assumed that would be a much more difficult thing to overcome, since there's so much pain also there as well. But I had a self-improvement paradox when I was about 16-17 years old, when I was just in my last year of high school. I was deep into biohacking, I was deep into classic self-improvement, so meditation, journaling, positive affirmations, visualizations. I was big onto minimalism as well. Like, I know at some point I literally thrown away almost everything that I own. And I also, when I say I was big in biohacking, this practically meant that I was basically eating only salads, I was drinking mostly green smoothies, I rarely ate anything else, maybe like yogurt and some oatmeal for breakfast. I drank a lot of green tea. I tracked my sleep. I had all of these giant spreadsheets where I tracked my light sleep, my deep sleep, my REM sleep, how long I've slept for. I've had all of these different schedules for having certain reading hour, a certain amount of reading hours per day, a certain amount of hours per day where I just go outside and stare at the sun because that's supposed to like help you sleep better. I was very deep also in things like cold showers and ice, cold plunges, stuff like that. And I know that at some point it was just too much. It was just such an extreme lifestyle choice. I got really frustrated with it because literally everything that I was doing, and I stuck with it for months, by the way, wasn't as people told me it's gonna be. It was very underwhelming, the results I got from all of these modalities. And also, it was just a lot of fucking work. And bear in mind that this was a time when I was just trying to get through school. I had just generally really bad grades because I was working on my business at the side. I had a relationship as well. I mean, I still have it, that I also needed to maintain. And you can probably guess how that sort of a restricting lifestyle that I cultivated back then, how that negatively impacted my relationship. So taking all of these things into consideration, at some point, a fuse went off and I just quit everything. And I started to accept myself. I dropped most of my self-improvement habits. And my God, did I feel so much better. I was so much happier. I was so much more productive. In fact, I got better grades. My relationship was way more fulfilling for both people, obviously. So that's the mentality I was in when I wrote this article on the self-improvement paradox. And sometimes I think people just need to come to this same point. When you reach an extreme that's already giving you a lot of diminishing returns in mental health, I feel people need to reach that extreme to really shift into self-acceptance mode. And I think that's kind of the best place to be, to actually then go into the self-acceptance mode. So maybe try to figure out where in the process you are to reaching such a self-improvement extreme. And then once you start to kind of feel that you reached it or are slowly going to reach it, quickly shift, change your lifestyle, and focus on self-acceptance. Now, yes, it's also a tricky thing to measure because this extreme point in self-improvement is different for all of us. Like, for example, the kind of lifestyle that I had and tried to maintain when I was 16, 17, when I was going through this period of immense self-improvement, maybe that kind of lifestyle is actually something completely normal and easy to maintain for someone else, you know? I doubt it, but hey, you never know what kind of people there are in this world, you know? So that person, maybe they will reach the point where they focus on self-acceptance once they start to meditate, not like an hour a day but 3 hours a day. Maybe they reach that point where they are kind of forced to shift into self-acceptance mode when they start eating only salads the whole freaking day, or they start, and I also experimented with this, just drinking Soylent, this really disgusting drink that's promoted as having literally all the nutrients and the protein and stuff that you need to function throughout the day. Please, like, don't fucking buy it. Or at least, if you're gonna use it in addition to having a healthy, balanced nutritional profile, a healthy and balanced diet. But anyway, everyone's different. Everyone's point in which they should go from self-improvement to self-acceptance is going to be a little bit different because of that. So the only real tip I can give here, the only real powerful solution that I can provide is cultivate self-awareness, to know when you're going to get close to that extreme, in which case, if you do get close, or if you do actually arrive at an extreme that's already unsustainable, you know you should probably pivot into self-acceptance. It's all about self-awareness, knowing what you feel, knowing what you think, knowing and really feeling into your external, sorry, not external, but internal experiences, and what's that telling you. And sometimes it's also just really good to hear what other people have to say in your life. Like, for example, when I was having my extreme self-improvement-obsessed lifestyle, my parents worried about me. My girlfriend was really frustrated about the way I was acting, how restrictive I was to myself, because at the end, you know, we live together. I mean, again, we still live together. But the point is, because we lived together, I kind of subconsciously, indirectly restricted her as well, because I didn't buy a lot of the things that she wanted to eat. I really stuck to my schedule, my meditations, my daily meditations and reading sessions, and therefore I had way less time to give to actually to give to her. So obviously that pissed her off a bit. You know, it was a rough patch in our relationship. And so if you're having rough patches as well, since you're going for a breakup, maybe not with your partner, but maybe with your friends or someone you're dating, that could also be a sign that, hey, maybe you've got to change your priorities here. Maybe you've got to alter your lifestyle a bit. Maybe what you're doing is a little bit too obsessive and you're maybe a bit too much focused on yourself. Maybe you're being too much of a narcissist, a little bit of a narcissist even. Who knows? Like, I don't know you, but that's a lot of what happens to people, by the way, engrossed in self-improvement. A lot of the people who I know that are most serious about self-improvement, and they just can't fucking chill, they're complete narcissists. They mostly think about what's best for them, and they just don't care about, you know, the people around them and what they feel and what they experience and what they go through as a result of their decisions, of the narcissist's decisions, or just in general. So just something to think about. I think that's pretty much enough said on this subject. I hope this was insightful, this commentary, and catch you guys later.